In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning to everybody out there, and happy Saturday to everybody listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday, 10 to 12. Wouldn't want to do my show anywhere else. I do it in the Letterman's Jacket Room. I always have fun setting everything up. I get here around 9 o'clock and put my backpack down and get my computer out, get my show notes out, hook up all the equipment, the speaker, the iPad for the live feed on Facebook, and surrounded by Letterman's jackets on my left, on my right, behind me. I see Edison and Hoover, Sunnyside, Selma. I got Selma in the house. I'm going to let you know who's coming on the show in just a second. Clovis West behind me, Liberty, Madeira, all these different color schemes, all the great Letterman's jackets and the sleeves, different color sleeves and all that good stuff. So come down to First String Sports, the place where to get your Letterman's jackets and more equipment as well. I see hats, buckets of baseballs. It's baseball season. So anyway, thank you to First String Sports for being my day one sponsor. Also, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN. Here's a weather report. 60 degrees right now. It's going to be high of 74. It's been beautiful weather. Absolutely gorgeous weather. And when I check my phone to see the next week or so, because sometimes I do that on the show, let you guys know what's going on weather-wise, I was a little surprised. Tomorrow, it's going to jump from 74 degrees all the way down to 57. What's up with that? And also, there's a chance of rain, 75% chance of rain. So it's going to turn really, really quick. Then it's going to stay in the high 50s, and it's going to get down to 54 degrees with chance of rain on Wednesday and Thursday as well. I might mess up some baseball and softball games that have begun here in the central section. So anyway, all right, well, 74 degrees, really enjoy it while you can because it's going to drop lower the following week. We have a really exciting show for you guys today. A little variety as well. March is here. And to me, it's March Madness, right? Meaning basketball, tournaments, playoffs, college stuff, right? There's NBA stuff going on. It's not the playoffs, so most people don't care yet. But Celland Arena is here. And it's my favorite 2 days in all of the high school sports season. It's my favorite. 12 games in 2 days, 6-6, divisions 1-6. There's no open division anymore. But it is just a who's who. It's almost like a mini reunion inside Celland Arena as far as the people that are there and the teams that are there and the coaches mingling and getting together and the hospitality room and just all the different people that you see sometimes just once a year at this event. Ask how their families are doing, what's going on. I mean, it is a huge, huge deal. The Fresno County Office of Education does a fantastic job with this. Absolutely phenomenal. And remember, Celland Arena for basketball is, that's the only basketball stuff that happens there anymore. I think Disney and Ice goes there. I think they show up a few other events. But this is the only basketball event that happens at Celland Arena. But Fresno County Office of Ed, phenomenal job. Take care of people. There are signs everywhere. Each team that's represented gets their own sign. I mean, huge banner, I should say. Just a first-class event. There's Mario Kart games that happen in between at halftimes. Kevin Miller, the one and only Kevin Miller, who works for Clovis Unified, does a fantastic job all day, every day for those 2 days. Pumping the kids up. When they win, they're whisked away to this. All roads leads to Celland. They get interviewed, confetti's falling, picture time. I mean, anyway, it's fantastic. If you've never gone, just think about it and do it today. All right, we got the big ones at 6 o'clock. Division I girls at 6, Clovis West, Clovis. We got Division I boys, St. Joseph and Buchanan. Two high-level games. Heck, go to either one of those games. I mean, it's just phenomenal, phenomenal basketball. All right, who's coming on the show? I got to break down to some of the games that happened last night. But who's coming on the show? Going to let you guys know after the break, probably around 10:22, 10:23 or so. Got Mission Prep coach Terrence Harris. And it's pretty rare that I have a coach or somebody on from the Coast section. But we broadcasted last night's game against Central. It was a thriller. It was a double overtime win for Mission Prep, 63-59. One of the great games in recent memory as far as drama, last-minute shots, last-minute defensive plays. It's an incredible game. But Coach Harris, we're able to really sit by him, sitting behind him, so to speak, because that guy was roaming the sidelines. He did a fantastic job. It's his first section title in 19 years as the coach. Great guy, had some great conversations. So he's going to be joining us via the telephone. Looking forward to that. After that, we got a double dip with Selma Soccer. Both the boys and the girls won section titles this week. And we got both the coaches joining us. Ruben Zamora is the boys' coach, and Luis Zamora is the girls' coach. Not brothers, but they are cousins. They're Selma dudes through and through. They're excited to come on the show. Can't wait for you guys to hear their stories. I've never met them. Can't wait to hear their stories myself. So looking forward to that. They're coming live here at First String Sports. At the top of hour number two, Phil Bonatti is coming on. He's my partner in crime on the broadcast side. We're going to be talking about that great Mission Prep game and Central. And we're talking about the Fresno Christian win over Menachie and preview some of the games that's going on today. We're broadcasting those final two D1 games that I mentioned. Always great to talk to Phil. At the bottom of hour number two, mentioned Fresno Christian. Their boys basketball coach, John Penberthy, he's going to join me, and star guard Aiden Milway and Devin Gaines. They took care of business last night. That team was on a mission. They won the D4 title handily, 73-50 over Menachie. So always great to catch up with Coach Penberthy. Actually came on during halftime of the Central Mission Prep game and broke down the game a little bit that we were watching and obviously talked about his team. So those guys are coming on. So that's what's going on for the next couple hours. And the Selma Arena game started off with a wild one in D6 girls. Number one was Summit Charter. They are a real basketball school from Porterville. I think it's the second time they've been in the playoffs. They played number three, Lindsay. How about this? How rare is this? Summit Charter was winning the game 38-27 entering the fourth quarter. And how about this? The Lindsay Cardinals outscored Summit Charter 17-0 in the fourth quarter, ending with a 44-38 win for Lindsay. 17-0 fourth quarter. What a nightmare for Summit Charter, but what an incredible run for Lindsay. Remarkable. So that started off the Selma Arena Championships. Then in D6, the boys, Chowchilla, they held off a hard-charging Fowler squad, and they won 63-59. In D4, number one Emmanuel defeated Santa Ynez 58-36. Watch out for freshman Kiara Thomas. She averaged 18 points a game for the Eagles. They won back-to-back titles. Coach Lauren LeBeau definitely has one of the best girls programs in the Central section. I would figure that they would be Division III next year, and heck, maybe even another big leap up to Division II. That team is loaded. Most of their starters are sophomores or freshmen. The D4 game that I mentioned, Fresno Christian defeated Menachie 73-50. In D2 girls, Sierra Pacific wins a tough battle against Menachie 50-43, denied the Marauders a second straight title. Congrats to first-year head coach Victor Chavarin on that one. That was a high-level, high-intense game. There was a three-pointer at the end of the game that pretty much sealed it for Sierra Pacific. In the D2 game that we mentioned, Mission Prep defeated Central in an instant classic, 63-59 in double overtime. I got to give major props to Gerald Perry. He was terrific for Central. Absolutely amazing. Oohs and ahs from the crowd. That kid scored 32 points, hitting bucket after bucket. Had a four-point play in the first overtime. But Mission Prep was too much. They made clutch play after clutch play in the fourth quarter, in first overtime, and obviously in the second overtime. But, hey, I got to go back to Gerald Perry. That guy was a dude. He went down with an ankle injury, and I didn't know if he was going to come back. He missed about 5 minutes of game time getting taped up. He came back with a vengeance. So major props to that dude for having an incredible game despite the loss. One more really cool thing that goes on at Selland Arena is after the game, they choose one player from each team, and they're presented with a plaque. It's not necessarily who scored the most points, but it's like a character counts almost. Right? It's like a pursuing victory with honor. They look for a kid out there that, you know, exemplifies what it means to be a student athlete, get pictures taken. It's a really, really cool deal at Selland Arena. All right, so today, let me set up today's game. D5, Rosemont and Bishop Union at 10 o'clock. That's in the girls. Bishop Union traveling 5 hours to get to Selland Arena. Rosemont, 3.5 hours, so they definitely win the farthest drive to play at Selland Arena. And D5 boys, Strathmore and Granite Hills at 12. Girls, D3, Shafter and Liberty. Girls, that's at 2. D3 boys, North and Rigetti, that's going to be a good one. A.J. Sheeran trying to get back-to-back titles for the North boys. That's at 4. And then at 6 o'clock, a game they're going to have on 1430 ESPN. State number 6, National number 9, an undefeated Clovis West girls, 31-0 this season. 31-0. They are gunning for their 13th straight Central Section title. Unbelievable. 13 straight. They're sitting on 12 right now. They're going against Clovis track rival Cooper Steele. Does a great job at Clovis High. Clovis West has beat them twice this season, pretty handily. But Craig Campbell's squad is going for history, man. The state record is 16 consecutive section titles. So there's still a few away. However, they are definitely a favorite in tonight's game. And then the D1 game. We're going to be breaking that game down and the Clovis West girls game with Phil Bonatti at the top of hour number 2. But we got number 1, St. Joe's, number 1 ranked in the Central Section. And number 2, Buchanan, right? What do they call that? Chalk, right? So the brackets went as planned, number 1 versus number 2. St. Joseph, ranked number 3 in the state of California. Number 3. Buchanan is 26-4. An incredible job this year by Tom Orlich. He is one of the best coaches in state history, well over 700 wins in his career. You know about St. Joseph. They got one of the top players in the nation, and Tunde Yesufu, California's all-time leading scorer. He's a McDonald's All-American, not a nominee. He made the 12-man squad. So that's going to be a fantastic game. Really looking forward to that one. Cannot wait to watch that one and call that one on 1430 ESPN. All right, really quick, I got some soccer finals. Got to give some love, man. I wish I could have some more time talking about these soccer finals. But boys D1, how about this? Edison Tigers, the 6th seed, defeated the number 1 ranked Clovis North Broncos 3-2 in a classic. If you guys didn't see the highlights, go ahead and find those. Google them. Find them on Twitter. Whatever. That was an absolutely phenomenal soccer game. I think there's well over 1,500 people checking that thing out. So congrats to the Edison Tigers. Lindsay D2 defeated San Luis Obispo. Lindsay's 26-1-3. We're going to try to get Tony Goday on the show next week. Porterville defeated Fresno. Selma got Ruben Zamora here right now. There he is. All right, gave me the little high sign. Defeated Riverdale 2-0. Division 5, Granite Hills defeated Napomo 2-0. And Carruthers defeated Kennedy 2-1. In the girls' side, Liberty defeated San Luis Obispo 1-0. St. Joseph over Bakersfield Christian 3-1. Santa Maria 1, Kerman 0. And D3, Division 4, Fresno Christian. Look at those guys. Back-to-back days for Central Section titles for the Eagles. 6-0 over Porterville. Selma, we talked with Luis Zamora, 3-0 over Miramonte. Granite Hills defeated Riverdale 1-0. State wrestling's happening. Maybe next week we'll dive into that a little bit more. Get some state champions here. That's going on down in Bakersfield. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be talking with the Selma guys in a little bit. We got Terrence Harris, the Mission Prep basketball coach, on the line in just a second when we take a break. And after we take a break, we're going to hear from him on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. And We got Terrence Harris on the line right now, head coach at Mission Prep San Luis Obispo. Defeated Central in a phenomenal basketball game. I tell you what, after that wacky first quarter that was 6-5, and then a halftime was 19-16. They really put on a show for that regulation and double overtime game to capture the D2 Central Section Championship. It is the first in coaches' 19 years at the school. So, first of all, Terrence, thanks for jumping on, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, thank you for having me, man. Great to be here.
And obviously your voice sounds like you coached a heck of a game last night, man. So, and one of the questions that we had after the game for you when we were hanging out for just a bit is, like, were you going to drive home that night or were you going to stay the night? So were you able to get a decent night's sleep at home, or what did you do last night?
No, we had made arrangements as a team to stay the night no matter what the outcome of the game was. We had determined that we were going to celebrate our path so far and reset our minds on Saturday morning for the future. But I'll also tell you, you know, we made those plans hoping that we were able to celebrate together as a team last night. And so it was great to be able to just go across the street from Saland Arena and celebrate as a family.
That's awesome. All right, so when, you know, all the crowd noise and celebrating with your team, when all that stuff quieted down and you finally had some time for yourself, maybe, you know, just about to fall asleep, when you're thinking about the game and just reflecting on that, what was going through your mind about what went on last night?
Yeah, so many thoughts, Paul. But the first thought was, thank you, God. You know, I'm a man of faith. We're a school that leans into our faith, and these guys have been faithful, and God's been faithful, and it was a thank you, God, for rewarding our faithfulness. The second thought was, man, these kids are such resilient young men, and I am just so happy that they have seen their work. And their resilience and their perseverance pay off in the reward that they had hoped for, which is a championship. These guys have been dreaming about this and grinding to get back to this stage, having fallen short last year. And I just wanted so badly for them to reap the reward of all the hard work that they've put in. And so for them to actually get to celebrate on that floor last night, it was something special, something that they will never forget, something that I will never forget. And I couldn't stop smiling, thinking about them actually getting to celebrate and finish what they were hoping for from a section perspective.
And I think, Coach, you know, as you've coached for a long time and you've been around, you know, these kids for a long time, and that's what it's all about, isn't it, right? Like, it's great for you and your staff and for everybody in the community, but, right, this is something that those kids will remember for a long time, the celebration, the blood, sweat, and tears, and probably a little fight, you know, infighting and locker. I mean, all those different things that represents the grind of a year, but for all of it to culminate, it's all about the kids, isn't it?
Oh, 100%, 100%, and, you know, there's so much that goes on through the course of a season, and so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and, you know, so, but this group has stayed together. You know, it's not been perfect, and winning is hard, you know, winning is hard, but they've just stayed committed, and so, again, when kids are working so hard and they are talented kids, and it takes a lot for it to come together and, you know, culminate in the type of finish that you're hoping for again. But just so happy for them, so proud of them. So many great storylines and so many great pieces of this puzzle that just fell in place. And our coaches, they work their tails off, and they prepare. Our parents are so supportive. Our administration is so supportive. So there's so many things that fall into place to make this what it is. But at the end of the day, we do what we do for these young men. And winning and losing is not the end all be all, but it sure feels a lot better to go through the journey and to be able to call yourself a champion.
And let's talk about a few of those guys on your team. And lots of clutch plays. I want to get to the game in just a second, but you know, a lot of these guys have been playing together for a long time, and you could tell in the celebration, the hugs and stuff. But give a shout out to some of the guys, some of the dudes that compete. I believe there was 9 seniors on this year's team, and obviously I'd like to give a shout out to all of them. But who are some special guys that you're going to miss next year?
Yeah, I mean, 9 seniors, and we are very reliant on that senior group. We start 5 seniors, so their leadership has been critical. There's guys that are seniors that maybe don't play as much. Even Orozco is one of the guys that comes to mind, number 5 for us. I mean, he started so many games last year. He was injured most of this season, but just as great of a teammate and as great of a part of this run as anybody can be. But last night was, you know, Roman Benedetti, he stepped up huge. He made big shots, timely buckets. He defended his tail off and was just really special last night. Jaden Ozil has been our engine, you know, from an offensive perspective and leadership perspective all season long. And, you know, he stepped up on the defensive end last night, even though Gerald Perry, I mean, he was a bucket. He was a winner, you know, but the effort that we didn't make it easy, and he just stepped up. But Jaden's defense, I thought was so critical. You know, Brody Miller, ice water in his veins. Brody is just a guy. He made those free throws. He's so steady for us. And I think Stokes hit a huge three from the corner. And that three was like, okay, we're going to do this, guys. We're going to do this. And then, you know, the other senior in that starting group is Braden Mott. Braden Mott is our rock. Braden Mott was so unselfish last night. He saw that we needed a little bit of a spark and was like, Coach, ride with Deuce. Ride with Deuce. You know, he believed in his teammates. And he wasn't saying, get me back in the game. He was saying, ride with Deuce, Coach. And Deuce stepped up big, had 11 points for us last night, and we needed that spark off the bench. So two of our seniors that didn't play a minute, you know, we were able to hold, their leading scorer and best rebounder to 0 offensive rebounds. And that was a focal point for us. And Kyson and Armin, 2 guys that don't play, they were the guys that helped us in practice prepare to work our tails off to keep them off the boards. And, you know, so those are the unseen minutes that mattered big time to this team. So I just couldn't be more proud of this group of seniors.
Talking with Terrence Harris, the head boys basketball coach at Mission Prep, who won the D2 title last night with a thrilling double overtime win against Central. And, Coach, you mentioned Gerald Perry. And, I mean, that dude was a bucket. He scored 32 points last night. I mean, the guy was a warrior, just hitting clutch shots. Like, as a coach, like, you're playing great defense. But when you're watching the dude, right, just make tough shot over tough shot. I mean, what do you do as a coach? Just, like, kind of tip your hat, but obviously you're a little frustrated as well, right?
What an unbelievable performance from Gerald Perry. I mean, we just kept saying, man, this dude is a winner. This dude is a winner. Like, you saw the fight in him, and it is frustrating because we felt like we made him work hard to get a shot, and we felt like we were doing, as a coach, I'm thinking, listen, we're doing what we asked you guys to do, and he is just getting buckets. So it's like, am I messing up here? You know, that's what was going through my mind. You know, 5 of 7 from the 3-point line, and, you know, taking tough. We knew that he's a guy that's going to make open shots, but we felt like just make him work and make it be contested threes, and we'll live with the results. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to live with these results. So what a winner. I mean, he had the heart and the guts, and he was huge for that team last night. And I know they didn't come away with the championship, but he gave a championship effort as a player, and hat goes off to him for being just an incredible, incredible basketball player and stepping up to the moment last night.
And I saw it with my own eyes. You guys were playing him to go left, and he jab stepped left and then crossed over right. So, man, he was definitely had a really good game. So I'm happy you're able to give him props. A couple more questions here, Coach, before I let you probably try to get some breakfast in you and keep celebrating with your family and friends there. But I noticed that the St. Joseph team was cheering you guys on last night. They're going to be playing Buchanan at 8 o'clock tonight. But talk about the camaraderie that you have there at the coast and how you guys come together for different moments. Obviously, you're competing against each other on the court, but you guys are kind of cheering for each other as well, right?
Without a doubt. So those guys, there's so many storylines there, but, the head coach, Tom Mott, is a guy that used to coach at Mission Prep. I played at Mission Prep. My brother Darnell and Tom Mott were my coaches. And then I was Tom's assistant coach. So he's like family. His nephews are on the team. Chase Untall is a young man that's at St. Joe. He was at Mission Prep. He's a part of the senior group. You know, they're still really close. Vince Condi, the assistant coach at St. Joe, coached all these seniors when they were in seventh and eighth grade. Garrett Wood played for us at Mission Prep. He's an assistant coach. So, like, we're competitors. We compete against each other, but we're always rooting for each other. You know, it's a family tree, and so we want to represent together. And so, you know, last year in the state tournament, we were able to go to their games. We were on the road. It's beautiful to have people in the business that support you, that look out for you, and we do that for each other because we're a part of the same family tree, and those guys to me personally have been incredibly supportive, and they've lifted me up at times in times that were challenging. That whole staff, and so we try to show up for each other when we can, and they were big for us last night, and it means a lot to have their support.
Well, that was clearly evident, and I saw the big hugs even from Will Hooker after the game, one of their assistants. So, man, that warms my heart when I see, you know, competing on the court, but afterwards give each other hugs because you guys are, you know, just really, really good guys, and you love the game of basketball, and you guys know what this game is all about. Okay, last question before I let you go here. So, obviously, I'm hearing everything that you're doing. I'm right there next to you guys during the game. Yeah. You got your water there in the first half. I got to ask you. And then the second half, you came out with this, like, green tea. So you, like, had to switch it up so you guys could get some more buckets? Or what was going on with the switch of your drink of choice there?
Very observant of you. And there was something there. First of all, Will Hooker used to coach at Cal Poly. And that's where I work. So I've known Hook for a long time. And so, you know, we're out there battling against each other. But I love Coach Hook, and he's another guy in this business. Like, we help each other out when we can. And so I felt for Hook, man. I felt for him. But obviously we're out there to compete and try and win. But that's my guy. And I hats off to him, too, because I thought he coached a heck of a game. But, you know, they say that players channel the coach's energy. And I thought that we were really calm and collected in the eye of the storm yesterday. We were struggling, but we were calm early. And frankly, I thought in the second half we were just a little too calm. And I needed a kick of caffeine. And I needed to bring my energy up and stay, get out of the calm. And it's like, hey, we got to fight, guys. And I needed to demonstrate that. And so I needed a little assistance in making sure that my heart was pounding and that we shifted from being cool, calm, and collected. So we got to go get this, boys. So that's why the green tea. I needed a jolt of energy. The team needed a jolt of energy, and we survived through double overtime and had the energy we needed to get it done. I got to give a shout out to our parent group who had literally a nutrition plan for us to make sure that we had the proper energy from team dinner on Thursday night to all the meals that we had prepped for us on Friday. The parents were bought in. They made sure we were hydrated and that we had the right meals to get us to the finish line. We needed every bit of it, man. True team effort. And this one's for the community. There's teams. Back to my first team, the very first team I coached, they teased me all the time and said, hey, if we had this version of you, coach, we would have been CIA champions. And I said, yeah, you're not wrong, man. I was young and didn't know what I was doing, but they helped build this. And so there's so many people down through the years that have helped build towards this moment. So I'm happy for our community, and I'm thankful for the community that we have at Mission Prep. And there's too many guys to shout out right now, but it's not just this team's victory. It's the community's victory, and everybody that I've coached for the last 19 years has helped get us to this point.
Well, it all culminated into a win last night. Whether it's water, green tea, community bringing in a nutritionist to make sure you guys' bodies are all right. So congratulations, Coach. You are very well respected around here. People speak highly of you. So congratulations on that win. And you still got some more basketball games to play. So good luck the rest of the way. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. We'll reset. We'll try and go 1-0 again on Tuesday. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Absolutely. All right. That's Terrence Harris, head coach at Mission Prep. We got some Selma soccer coaches in the house. Can't wait for you guys to hear them. That's coming up next on 1430 ESPN. All right. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And we got Selma soccer. They had a pretty darn good week this week. It was a good day. It was a good day and a good week for Selma soccer. Both the boys and the girls programs won Central Section titles. The boys 2-0 over Riverdale in D4, and the girls 3-0 over Miramonte in D5. We got cousins Ruben and Luis Zamora. They're joining me here live at First String Sports. First of all, thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Paul. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. All right. So it's been a few days for each of you. What was the girls' game on Tuesday and the boys on Wednesday? Am I right on that?
Correct.
So it's been a few days. You guys have had some time to celebrate and talk and decompress a bit. So we'll start with you, Luis. Like, how do you summarize the game and what went on and the celebrations and all that? So what's the best way to frame all that?
Oh, man. It was exciting, to be honest. For three games, we're on the road. You know, I mean, we got a first-round home game, but after that, we put a lot of miles. I felt bad for Randy having to get all those charter buses. You know what I mean? I'm sure that bill wasn't cheap, but it was great. The community support, the fans, honestly didn't feel like we were on the road. Every home game, we could feel the support in the stands. The final, the boys are streaming it, you know what I mean? Finished practice early and cheering us on from home. But it was great. It was a tough game. Miramonte, their number 7 striker, she was tough. Once we figured out how to take her away from the equation and not be a factor in the game, I think that's when we started to succeed a little bit. But I think for those first 20 minutes, they definitely had us on the ropes. And I think that we took their best punch there, and we were able to recover and make some adjustments, make some personnel adjustments in the back line and in the midfield. And our freshman star Leo Ordonez early on in the first 20 minutes gets a goal for us. And I think that really calmed us down once we got that goal. But after the game, it was just so great seeing all the girls so excited. The parents who had made the long trip there. And for me, it was just exciting. I was able to have my daughter on the sideline with me, and something that she's been with us for the season with the girls and really close to him. So just seeing her just as excited. She's 6 years old. She just kept calling it the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? She said, Selma's going to the Super Bowl. So just seeing her excited and happy for myself and the girls, that meant the world to me.
So it ended up being 3-0, right?
3-0. 3-0. Two free kick goals from our junior, Lacey Vasquez.
At what point in the game – did you think, oh, my gosh, I think we're going to do it? Was it like after 2-0? Because, like, 1-0 still scary,
oh, yeah.
Right?
One nothing going into 1-0 and a half. And I'll be honest, at halftime, I was frustrated. You know what I mean? I know we had the lead. And speaking to the girls at halftime, I'm like, girls, I don't feel like we should have the lead at the moment. We have it. But I feel like Miramontes outplaying us at the moment and creating a lot clearer chances than we are. So I got on them a little bit at halftime, but once that second goal dropped, that second goal dropped in, moved some people to the back line and kind of just, you know what, we don't need any more goals. Yeah. Now we just need to maintain this 2-goal lead, made some adjustments. And once that we went up 2-0, I'm like, take a deep breath. I'm like, all right, I think we're going to be fine. And then a few minutes later, or 8 minutes to go, that third one drops, and I'm like, we're good. We're golden now.
The Super Bowl. You guys got the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got the Super Bowl. Okay. I keep telling my daughter it's not the Super Bowl, but.
You'll take it, though. Maybe get her a ring, too, man. Yeah. She gets call it her Super Bowl ring.
If they give some youth ones, I'm sure I will attempt to get her one.
All right. Randy's here. He's laughing about that. All right. Got to dip a little extra for Luis's daughter. All right. So, Ruben, for you, you guys had that win against Riverdale. You guys had a home game, right? Was that one at home, the championship?
No, we were also away.
2-1,
yeah.
But you had to go on the road for that one. Just talk about that game and then the celebration and the feelings about that.
You know, this was the first year that we began to practice over the summer, or actually it was late spring. We did it because we knew we had a really good team, you know, and we knew we had to at least get started early to start building the camaraderie and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it got hard at the beginning of the season. We were losing some tough games, and our record didn't look the greatest. But we did it. Me and Randy put together a really tough schedule for the same reason. You know, we knew going into playoffs we were going to play some really tough teams. And, you know, it paid out because our mentality was like, we're not going to play anybody better than what we had already played over the season. But you know what? Every team that we played was actually really well coached, really well organized. You know, Lompoc came over to our home, and even though we beat them 5-0, it was still nerve-wracking until the last minute. You always feel like in playoffs you can't let one go in because the momentum changes so fast, and, you know, every game was a tough game. Templeton was a tough one. But, you know, this final – we knew going in we were the underdogs, even though, you know, we played a tougher schedule, and, you know, we went in thinking, hey, you know, we deserve this. Since the beginning of playoffs, we told the guys, hey, we deserve this. We've been putting in the work, and, you know, to finally be able to get there, it was a really gratifying, you know, feeling. You know, we went to semifinals for, you know, in the last 4 years, we've been there 3 times, and we had never gotten over the hump, and we finally were able to do it. And, you know, pulling up into the stadium, me and Randy, I told them, hey, those bleachers on the visiting side, I don't think they're going to be big enough.
and they weren't, man. That track was filled with Selma community.
How many people do you think? What, over 1,200? 1,250 people there.
I felt bad for Randy and Mr. Lane, man, trying to control all the fans on the track. Yeah. Keep telling them back up, and there was no way that was going to happen, man. Those fans were on the track ready to go.
It was amazing seeing everybody, you know. Me and him try to do our best to prep at least our side so we can get everybody to, you know, watch the game, and we made some adjustments. And, you know, when you turn back and you see, you know, what to me it looked like, 500 people on the sidelines, and seeing different sports out there, like the football team coach and some of the football team players, some of the volleyball girls, and especially seeing all of his girls that had just won the Valley Championship come out and support us like that, I think it gave the kids a little bit of an extra boost, you know. And I know a lot of people thought, hey, Riverdale has this crazy record, and they had this monster kid who scored over 30 plus goals. You know, Salma's a little bit on the underdog side. My kids never felt that way. My kids always felt, hey, we're the better team. We took advantage of the opportunities that we had, and you know, my goalkeeper came in big.
That's what I heard, man. I heard great things about this goalkeeper. Talk about him and that performance.
You know, since a few years back, you know, when he came in as a freshman, he had the potential to be – he was already on varsity. I hardly ever call any freshmen up to varsity, you know, and but he had it. You know, he had the attitude. He had the potential. And, you know, at times it got a little bit hard for him. You know, the freshman year he started off as a starter, and then towards the end of the season he kind of – the pressure got a little bit to him. But then the next year he came in a lot more mature, and he won goalkeeper of the year for our league, and – you know, he was an all-star goalkeeper, all that kind of stuff. And I've always felt like he's one of the best goalkeepers in the Valley. I've seen a lot of good kids, but I feel like my kid is, like I said, if not the best, one of the best. I mean, obviously I'm a homer, but I think he is one of the best. And you know, his performance in the final showed. I mean, he was critical. He was the guy that was keeping us alive. And, you know, the kids fed off of him. You know, obviously he had a really good performance, but that doesn't discredit all the other kids, what everybody else did. You know, the defense did a really good job on the kid that scored over 30 plus goals in the season. And my forwards, you know, Brando Alvarado has been amazing all season. He's one of a kind, you know. He's a unique player, and his buddy Moses has been great. And my midfield, you know, consists of probably maybe the shortest midfield on the whole in the whole Valley. But you know, these guys play, they're short, but they play big, you know, so all of them deserve it. You know, I ended up the game with 3 or 4 underclassmen that had to come up big, and they did. It was awesome. It was awesome seeing all that kind of stuff.
But I feel like Manny, I've known him for a while as well. He refs for me for some of you soccer league. But man, he was a brick wall back there.
Yeah.
I was there for the final, and I think that just gives your backline that confidence when you have a guy like that back there playing the way that he is, knowing that, hey, if they get through, I got this guy standing behind me, and I know he's going to be secure. And I think that just gave that backline and the team a boost. That PK alone that he saved could have easily switched momentum over to Riverdale. And PKs are not easy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So for him to make that critical save and see his team respond to that, you know what I mean, and like, all right, we're still in this. It was great, and that double save that he had, man. He just had a great performance, you know what I mean.
An all timer.
Oh yeah, we got to name something after that kid at the high school, man. I don't know. We got to talk to Randy and get a brick with his name on it or something at the stadium, man, because that kid played well.
We only got a couple minutes here with you guys, man. I wish we had more time because you guys did a fantastic job this year at Selma, winning both the boys and the girls Central Section titles. All right, Luis, can you give us just what it means for you being a Selma guy, right, to win that title, you know, playing soccer at Selma and then winning it for the girls too?
It means a lot. I mean, I was born and raised in Selma, grew up at going to school, Selma Unified School District, graduated from Selma High in 2008, moved away for a few years to play college soccer in Iowa. And as the first year I got back, I was given the opportunity to be an assistant coach at Selma High. I couldn't say no. You know what I mean? What better way to give back to the community than help out the youth and share some of the knowledge that I have and gained over the years? So it was amazing. You know what I mean? And I know it means a lot to the community. After the game, I have a ton of missed calls and phone calls and emails and you know what I mean? But it's great. There's a lot of good young talent in Selma, and not only for us to win, but for the boys to do it in the same year. It's amazing. You know what I mean? These kids deserve it, and I'm just glad that you have us here so we can recognize these kids and get the recognition that they deserve and that the community of Selma deserves. It's a great community and filled with great, wonderful people and great athletes, not just in soccer, just great athletes in general. I mean, look what football did a few months ago and winning Valley, and the baseball team is thriving. Softball has always been thriving. Wrestling has always been thriving. You know what I mean? Water polo, swimming, there's great athletes, not just soccer players, not just football players. They're great athletes, but overall, they're great kids as well.
Ruben, what about for you? You got about another minute here. What do you love about Selma and everything being a grad?
You know, growing up in Selma, like I said, I always told my kids, hey, you guys got to have some pride in your town. You know, this is where your family lives. This is where you're growing up, this is probably where your kids are going to grow up, so you got to make sure that you represent, you know. And me growing up in, like I said, I'm part of soccer, you know, I grew up watching him play varsity soccer at the old Staley Stadium, and that motivated me when I was growing up and to step onto the field and do what he was able to do. And unfortunately, you know, I didn't go to the college and do all that stuff, but right after high school, I was given the opportunity to coach JV, and ever since then, I've been doing it. I've been out there at Salma High for 12 years, and 4 JV, 8 varsity, and, you know, like Randy said, I don't pay attention to my stats but or anything like that. I just want to go out there and win, but it feels amazing that my 100th victory was actually the Valley Championship, you know?
Wow, that's great.
It was cool, you know, to find that out, and I was like, man, it's meant to be, you know, so.
Well, you guys are great representatives of the school and the community. Congrats, man. That's it's historic what you guys were able to accomplish on the field, winning the Valley titles. You're going to have your Super Bowl rings, right, so to speak.
Yes,
and
sir.
Ruben, congratulations on all that success. And Randy, man, you got to keep these guys forever, man. Find some extra, you know, dollar stipends or do some extra pizza sales or something to keep these guys around. These guys are good guys.
Sell some more shirts.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having us.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We got Phil Benanti on next on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN Radio, your local sports leader. Live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12. And I always say it's the perfect time to have a show about high school sports because I get to recap games from Friday night. Football is perfect, right? Everything's still pretty fresh. And if people out there missed any type of information or want to know who some stars of the games were, hey, I do my best and bring on the best people that I know to talk about those games and recap it and bring on some players. We're going to have some Fresno Christian guys on around 11:35 or so as well. But I wouldn't want to do my show anywhere else but First String Sports. The ambiance is fantastic here. They'll definitely help you out. They'll help layer out your Letterman's jacket, put, you know, some Bible verses on the back, whatever you want. If you're an academic person, it don't matter, right? Put your academic stuff up there. And it's a great place to do a radio show. So, again, thanks to First String Sports for allowing us to do the show here. I got Phil Benanti sitting right next to me. Phil, just what time is it? It's 11:07 right now. Yeah. So I saw you, what, we're going to say, 13 hours ago?
Yeah, about.
I think we finally got out of Cellon Arena. We were the last ones there.
It was about 10:15, 10:30 we were getting out of there. So.
And we were talking to Coach Harris for a bit, who did a fantastic job on air talking about his Mission Prep team. And I felt bad because the workers – we're like kind of waiting for you and I. We were the last ones. Our equipment was there on the table. We're like kind of hustled there to pick it up and go. And they were like, okay, let's go, guys. What are you waiting for?
You know, I don't think anybody wanted to leave that arena, though, after a game like that, honestly. It just to be in that atmosphere, I wanted to consume it as much as I could. I couldn't get enough of it with that double overtime game that ended it. So,
and I think there's some confetti still out on the ground where they celebrate the teams up there, and the all roads lead to Cellon. Oh, sorry. So, Phil, you know, this is, you know, you're back in the Valley, right? You went to school here. You have your show. You're getting very well established here in the Central Valley. You know, I hyped up Cellon Arena a lot to you, mm-hmm. right? And you probably heard from different people about what to expect, and you knew a lot of the teams that were playing over the last couple days. Did it meet your expectations about what you thought, or what were your impressions about yesterday? We still have today too, but what were your impressions?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating when you get in these environments, what kind of comes out of these athletes and the way these games can kind of go, the March Madness sense of it, and now we are officially in March, so who knows what kind of madness we get later today. I know some games are going on right now. I've had experience in environments like I can think back to the Casper, the Wyoming Event Center there in Casper. I can think back to the Bismarck Event Center. I can think back to tournaments in the Fargo Dome that they had.
It's literally called the Fargo Dome?
The Fargo Dome, which is where the NDSU Bison play, but okay. They cut it in half and basically have a basketball court right there. I've been to plenty of tournaments, and I'll tell you, Saland delivers on all fronts when it comes to that. I think my ears are still ringing from last night, from all the broadcasts aside. You know, we wear these headsets, yeah. But it wasn't even protecting what we were doing and how we were comprehending what was going on. But I'll tell you this. Tournament time like this, when it's on a neutral site, neutral floor, you got one town on one side, one school on the other, you know, you just feel it a little bit more as opposed to when you're inside a home gym with somebody, right? It's just a little bit different in that atmosphere, and the noise and the feeling and the tension, you can feel it, especially towards the tail end of games like we had last night. I think it's unmatched. And you feel the emotions of it too, right? Win or lose, because those kids, I know that's not their last game, but it's their last, for some of them, it's their last chance to make an imprint on that Saland Arena floor, because not many kids can say they can do that, and they have done that. I know a lot of people who played basketball in high school sure wish they had that opportunity to play in front of Saland Arena, and so those memories are cherished for a long time.
And we have the privilege of being next to one of the benches, right? And so the Menachi Fresno Christian game that we were able to call, we were right next to the team that didn't win, right? And we mm-hmm. see the disappointment, and we see the kids, you know, coming off of the court thinking, oh my gosh, what just happened? But then we saw Mission Prep, and we saw all the nervousness and anxiety and all the things that go into trying to win a basketball game in a central section title. You could feel just the release, right, in the coaching staff. And, you know, Coach Harris mentioned, you know, we just prayed, right? We prayed, right? We wanted to win this basketball bet. You could feel everything sitting right there on the bench.
I mean, he turned to us and said, are you having fun yet? And yeah. I think that was right at the start of double overtime in some form yep. or fashion. So he was locked in, but, you know, still understood the moment of it when it came to, you know, having fun and understanding the moment, which was that's the point of it, having yep. fun. And we're all having fun here. And Menachi, I think, had some fun as well throughout the game. You felt the excitement when they came back and brought it to within like a 6-point yeah. deficit at one point. There's a sense of belief there. We had Menachi right behind us, the community behind us, and I can hear some of those cheers, some of those comments, and all of those wishful thinking that comes from those opponents. And then the same on Mission Prep when, you know, you're just surrounded by all of that kind of hope and aspiration of whether they can pull it off. It's so much fun to be a part of.
Student section were, especially in that Menachi side, they had back-to-back games.
Easy to kind of park and hang out for a while for Menachi there.
That's right. How about that powder blue? I like that powder blue.
That's exactly. I'll tell you this. I'm a little yeah. partial to it because it kind of looks like where I went to high school with our powder blue and yeah. the yellow with Heritage High. So I was a little like, all right, I like the colors over there. That's a pretty sweet color
At
scheme.
At least you didn't say UCLA because we got some UCLA haters.
No,
I'm
not into UCLA. No, okay. not at all.
All right, so I know Coach Pemberthy from Fresno Christian is coming on with a couple dudes, but let's just kind of hit on that a little bit from our perspective. So like, Fresno Christian jumped out to that 14-3 lead. And heck, what, through the next all the way through up until the fourth quarter – they actually outscored them, right? Mm-hmm. Talk about Menachi from that 14-3 lead. But in the end, it ended up being a 23-point game. But Fresno Christian, they're a good basketball team, aren't they? They do a little bit of everything.
Defensively, you know, they can get annoying. They can get really annoying on some players, especially. I'll shout out Jeremiah Mason as a player. I always kind of like watching because he's right in the grill of any of their top scorers in that sense. Ty Baxter had a real tough first half, and it was all kind of Mason's doing there, and anytime he was on him, I was just very compelled to kind of watch that matchup when it came to it. But you're right, you know, Menachi didn't really have much inside because of the length that Engelman provided, and then when Tyson Ramirez came off the bench, and you also had Gaines in there as well, and the outside shot was hitting for Fresno Christian early as well. You know, Milwee was catching fire early. He felt it, and sometimes when you're a shooter, you just kind of feel it go. And I thought John made a good point in letting the kids know, especially when it got tense there in that third quarter when he was talking to us in the halftime of the Central game. He's like, hey, you guys are still in a good spot.
Yeah.
You're leading this game. And, you know, that's their run, and here we go. Let's go take it here. And so I think that was such a good attitude and good perspective to have. And I think Fresno Christian has such a good perspective on the game. And I don't see many guys kind of freaking out on that roster when it comes to any point of the game where they're complaining about something that happened or they're looking at a ref. Or I never really noticed that in the game last night. They just kind of handled their business, took care of what they needed to do on offense, made sure they locked down on defense when they needed to. And surely that's the reason, I would believe, that they're D4 champs.
And I want to give a little shout-out to head coach from Menasche, Justin St. Clair. We've seen a lot of coaches as well. That's the one thing about basketball, right? Everybody's exposed, right?
Yeah.
You can hear everything and body language and all that stuff. This guy just coached his team. Didn't see him yell at a referee. And, you know, his I think that's a great testament to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure maybe the language was a little sharper and a hushed tone maybe to some refs, but at least it's there in the rest. I don't know what he's saying there, but I'd imagine you take the respect to not show up refs in
sure.
that sense. And he took the time to coach his team, and that team responded to it and stayed calm when they were down, 16 or 14 at the half. You know, they found their way to kind of climb back, of course, but you know, Christian's got so much talent
yeah.
on there. It was going to take a lot for Menasche to overcome that whole deficit there. Give him props. 23-point margin is not going to define how that game went in my mind. I think people are unfortunately, going to remember the box score and think, oh, you know, Christian kind of rolled. But
yeah.
It's not the story of the game. Menasche was right there.
And just to hit on really quick, it's a game that we didn't broadcast. It was in between the two games that we did, Sierra Pacific and Menasche. Sierra Pacific comes away with a win. Congratulations to them. We didn't mention this on air. Maybe we will tonight. But they every year at Cellin Arena, they honor people for their commitment to the game of basketball, whether it's a coach or you know a media member or somebody like that. And Amy Bush, who won a state title at Sierra Pacific, was honored. So that was a really cool moment for her. But I know just kind of hit on that game a little quick. What ended up 50-43, I believe. But there were some pretty clutch shots that Sierra Pacific made at the end to wrap that one up.
What I noticed, though, you know, yeah, the clutch shots at the end, but what I noticed, sometimes when I watch basketball, I think of it as a prize fight in a way, in boxing terms. And it just kind of felt like Sierra Pacific got a first good punch in right at the beginning and kept that lead and kept sparring and sparring and sparring with Menasche, and Menasche could never quite overcome. I mean, how many times, Paul, were they within 1 point in that fourth quarter, and you felt like they had many possessions
yeah.
to take that lead, and Sierra Pacific's defense just came in and shut them down. They're a tough unit, a really fun unit to watch. They could shoot the three really well, and I thought they dictated how the game was going the whole way, and I thought I was very impressed with how Sierra Pacific played.
I agree. All right, so let's talk about the nightcap, the game that, let's be honest, and I don't think either coach would disagree with us, and in this case, the stats did not lie, Phil. So at the end of one quarter, it was 6-5. Central was up, right? 6-5.
It didn't really matter.
It was
Mission Prep up 6-5.
Six to five.
Yeah, yeah.
And then halftime was 19-16.
Central, yeah.
Central was up. We got the stats, and we chuckled a bit, right? What, three for 15
or something. Both teams are shooting 20% in the first half.
Yeah.
I remember that. It was like 20% for the field. Usually, maybe from three is that. You
sure.
can live with it. But from the field, 20%,
yeah.
I don't think any coach would have chalked that up.
And
start.
I think there's only two free throws, like 0 for 2 or 1 for 2 and 0 for
Both
2.
Both teams combined for 1 for 4, I think yeah. I remember, on the free throw line. So
Coach Harris had to change it up a little bit. That's why he went from water to green tea. But, I mean, what a game, though. After that, right, kind of flushed that first half. That's that second half and double overtime. That was some high-intense stuff. What sticks out to you about, 12 hours later?
Well, I know the game went Mission Prep's way. I can't get over enough how we were sitting there in the middle of that third quarter. Gerald Perry hits this nice block off Benedetti. But as he comes down, he lands on an ankle and really twists it in a way where I was sitting there. They were up 11. after that play. And then you kind of felt it like, oh, Mission Prep could find a way to get back into it. And they did. I think they only trailed by one after the end of the third. We're looking at Perry like, where is he at? And then you see him kind of go over to the score table as he after he was testing his ankle. I just tapped right there, said, sub me in, started the fourth quarter. And from then on, it just felt like Perry versus Benedetti throughout the downstretch of that game. And it just like sometimes you have those moments where it just feels like two guys battling it out and the teammates are trying to propel them in that sense. And Perry was hitting incredible shots down the stretch, especially from three-point range, getting to the line. Benedetti on the other side, his mid-range game, he felt like he was automatic from that free throw line spot where the
and
turnaround
jumper.
He's a tall
kid. He's 6 foot six, long arms.
They set him up.
Benedetti, yeah.
They set him up. And then I wouldn't be lying if I wasn't listening back to the broadcast, just kind of just reminiscing. I just wanted to relive the moments there with you and I on the call. And, man, you feel like there were a lot of moments for Central in that game to seal it. They were up three with 40 seconds to go. They go foul a three-point shot on a offensive rebound opportunity. Big shots, big free throws from Brody Miller there. Got it to 50. And then just when you think Mission Prep's on the run to get it done, they're up two with about a minute to go, and then Perry hits this four-point play, three-pointer, and it's like the Wild swings of momentum. I could go to many, many plays, but it just felt like two guys stepping up in a big moment, playing as advertised or above as advertised in that game.
And, right, and Coach Harris mentioned that, like, they threw everything they could at Gerald Perry, and he was making bucket after bucket. I think he said 5 of 7 from three-point land as well. And that's one of those games, Phil, that, like, even though they lost, it's something that – the people that were there, they'll remember it. Like, hey, Perry left it all on the court himself. And, I mentioned the great job that Fresno County Office of Ed does. After the game, they'll bring in a player of the game from each team. And I saw the pictures afterwards. And, right, they lost, talking about Central. But Perry's he's smiling, right? I mean, like, they lost a Valley Championship game. But he's still smiling because he gave it all he could.
I was soaking it up at the end of the game, right after all the celebration. I was staring at a lot of things, and I was trying to compartmentalize it. We were sitting there. I've said the final score, you know, and we're soaking it in for about 5 seconds, I think. We just kind of let it roll for a little bit. I'm watching Terrence. By the time Perry got to the end of the line, and he just embraced him, and that was a cool thing to see. Just the massive respect you could see from coach to player there, the opposing coach. And then, you know, you see Will Hooker and Coach Harris as well embrace at the midcourt. You know, it's just all of those kind of images, and it just shows kind of the sportsmanship and just, man, massive respect. You just felt all of the respect between both opponents there because I don't think there was, the competition is fierce, and those guys are ready to compete against each other. But that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, that respect after the game.
I love it. I love it. All right, so let's preview a bit tonight's games.
Yeah.
The big ones. Clovis West Girls and Clovis Girls at 6 o'clock. We're going to have, 5:45, right? We'll be on air.
5:45 pregame, yeah.
Talking about that game. Clovis West Girls, 31-0, number 6 in the state, and number 9 nationally. So, yeah, wrap your head around that. What does that say? How good girls basketball is in the state of California. Craig Campbell, he's never had a team 31-0 for Clovis West. And here they are on the precipice of history. They've taken care of Clovis twice already this year in the track. You've seen Clovis West. Which that one time that we broadcasted their game?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about
this? I think it's such an institution, right, with what they have. But the fascinating part of it is, among their dominance, this is a season they've never had before, right? Because you can point to the 12 straight ones, Central Section titles, and you feel like been there, done that, and they just continue to do it. But what kind of added pressure is there with the undefeated season, right? And I know they can say they're not talking about it, and they can say they're not thinking about it, and you can say that all you want as an athlete. But I'd imagine, Paul, if you're sitting there as a player at Clovis West, you're like, man, we are as good as anybody's ever been here at Clovis West with this undefeated season, and the thought has to creep your mind eventually at some point. Everybody's human in that sense. So I'm curious the psychology of that as they go forward with, undefeated season, pressure of that, what that feels like. I know tonight is business as usual, what that feels like with that, but I don't know if it affects the game tonight. I don't know if it affects the games moving forward into the state playoffs, but that's the question I have for these players is you're doing something nobody's ever done at Clovis West before, which is try to be perfect. And so I'm curious the psychology of that team as opposed to the other teams we've seen. And I wonder from your perspective, Paul, what that kind of can do on the psyche of these players.
I could definitely talk about that. I had many conversations with Coach Craig Campbell about those various topics, and the insight that he has is second to none, mm-hmm. right? It's why they are a national brand, right? It's Everybody in the nation knows Clovis West basketball. I go back to the 2017 season where they won the open division in high school in California and ended up being number one nationally team. They had two losses on that season. This team could be an all-timer, right? Will it surpass? It will only surpass if they win the state championship, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's the ultimate, right? If they make it to the state championship and lose, you know, that means they'll probably have just a one loss, right? Will that other team surpass it, or will that other team still be the number one team of all time? I would think so, right? Yeah. That open championship just speaks a lot. And we could go back to a bunch of stats. You know, they beat in the playoffs, in the state playoffs, like I think three McDonald's All-Americans that they're able to defeat. The national teams that they beat as far as like the top 20 teams were more than this year's team. So, I mean, we got all that stuff. But speaking on the mentality of the team, for a lot of these senior girls, they played three championship games and won three championships on that court tonight, Cellender Arena, right? So that's not going to be an issue. The pressure, though, that's an interesting topic, Phil, because the pressure that the kids feel, a lot of it is internal as far as we do not want to disappoint the legacy of the past, meaning they don't want to be the team that breaks the streak of not winning a central section title, right? You don't want that to hang, right? The 31 wins, that's just a precursor leading up to this legacy, right, that Clovis West girls have. So, yeah, I mean, there's all those different aspects to tonight's game as well. But when it does come down to it, it's the scouting report that they've worked so hard on. They've had a full week to prepare, mm-hmm. and executing the scouting report and, doing their job on the court. That's what it comes down to.
And I don't want to do a disservice to Clovis here because Clovis certainly deserves to be in this game as well, the way they played. They fought through this postseason, right, and the teams they played. And to me, Clovis is an interesting team to come in here because, right, the last time we saw Clovis West lose was to a Clovis High in the regular season. Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, a team from the central section.
Yeah, so it's the last team to beat them in there. Yeah. And I know there are different pieces to that aspect. But, you're here in this game for a reason, and I think that's what Coach for Clovis will say. And there will be speeches you can make, and you just take it possession by possession, quarter by corner. You see how it kind of rolls. Like we said, selling's different. Yeah. You never know what kind of comes of it. And I you got to give credit for Clovis being here, and I'm wondering how much they can hang tough within this game. I would love to see how close it can be, and I think it'll be a fascinating one.
And there's no secrets, meaning, like, Clovis knows absolutely what they're up against.
Exactly.
Right? They've played AAU again. I mean, Cooper Steele, I mean, he's a Valley guy through and through. He knows his opposition through and through, talking about the Clovis West girls. He knows their right? He could probably study 24 more hours about those girls, and he probably wouldn't learn anything new.
Yeah.
Saying that he just knows what they're up against. You know, you got Rainey Chapman for Clovis West, a couple shout-outs here, and Alexis Swillis headed to UNLV at 6'3". We got Riley Walls who's going for her fourth straight Central Section title, Keegan Medeiros. I mean, those are known commodities, right? On the flip side for Clovis, Sadie Sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I watched her against Carruthers, which makes play after play late in their win. So she's a gamer as well, only a junior. So, yeah, lots of storylines in that one, Phil. It's 11:29. All right, I see Penn Berthy's here. He's going to want to talk about a lot of stuff as well. But we got to preview St. Joe's
yeah.
and Buchanan.
I'll be succinct.
So many storylines in this one as yeah. well. Number three team in the state, ranked nationally as well as St. Joseph, number 23 in the state, Buchanan. Buchanan with those three wins over defending champ Clovis North during the regular season and league play, I guess I should say. All right, how are you gonna break this thing down, right? I mean, St. Joseph is absolutely on a mission to win this title because of what Clovis North did to them last year.
The story will be Buchanan. The story will be how well that defense of Buchanan can hold up, which I think is such a good program for them. I think they know exactly their identity, and they keep the game in front of them for the most part. I've never seen it really stray from them in that side of things. The question is, can Buchanan score enough? Can they score enough, and can they get out of those lulls? We saw them against Clovis North. That's the one time I've seen them. They went on a good scoring streak in that first quarter, and then it kind of dried up, and they just survived a little bit. And maybe that's the game plan, is just try to survive, try to stay within that possession. Don't let this thing run away from you. It's like trying to make sure the train doesn't get off the tracks here, because eventually a game can get that way if you start playing outside of yourself. Buchanan, for the most part, from what we've seen, plays within themselves yep. better than anybody and knows exactly what they're capable of and exactly what they need to do. I think outside of maybe that weird loss to Central this year, I think Buchanan's played as good as they can be to their identity. And can they stay in that tonight against St. Joe's? And can St. Joe's avoid being frustrated maybe if something's not going the right way?
And that's what happened last year.
Yeah.
St. Joe's got in trouble because the game plan that Coach Abinson put together and the execution, Jordan Espinoza and Connor Abinson, those guys, was phenomenal in that win. They got to frustrate St. Joe's, right? Mm-hmm. The pack line defense that Buchanan plays, they're going to have to, for lack of a better phrase, ugly up the game, meaning they need to keep it in the 50s. They can't let those big runs from St. Joseph's.
I think Coach Orlich would like 6-5 in after the first quarter.
He'd be okay with that.
Like we had last night.
Yeah, I agree. All right, it's going to be a great one. Can't wait to watch the team. Connor Sheets, right? Did we mention Connor's name? He is the dude for Buchanan.
It'd be fun to see him on the selling floor for the first time, right?
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, Buchanan. Lost to Bakersfield Christian in playoffs last year. But great storylines. Tom Orlich, you know, his history with basketball, over 700 wins, one of the top coaches in California history against Tom Mott and this big juggernaut, so to speak, mm-hmm. as far as St. Joe's goes. So, Phil, I'll see you in a few hours, man. Hit the hospitality room, get some food in us, get some energy, and then
around 3:30, you should see you down there, right?
And the really good basketball game at 4, I'm going to check out North against
Rigetti.
Yeah, North against Rigetti. So, Phil, see you in a few minutes. Rest up this
Sounds
afternoon,
good.
And we'll have a good call tonight.
I'll make sure you get some tea. I'll get everything ready.
All right.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, absolutely. We got Fresno Christian in the house right now. Coach John Pemberthy brought a couple of his dudes. I believe Devin Gaines and Aiden Milwee is here to talk about their win last night. You're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN Radio. Got a good talk with Phil Bonanni, talking about last night's basketball games, all the great stuff that's happening at Selland Arena. Truly my two favorite days in all the high school sports season. And we got a couple champions here. Three, I guess we could say, right? We've got Coach John Pemberthy from Fresno Christian. We got Aiden Milwee from Fresno Christian as well, and Devin Gaines. Thank you guys for being here. Really appreciate it. We kind of threw everything together right now. We're going to be in the midst of mic checks while we do this. So, Aiden, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good. Doing good.
There you go. Sound good. How about you, Devin?
I'm doing great.
All right. Let's put it a little bit closer. Put the microphone. There we go. All right. Coach, what's going on this morning? How are you feeling?
It was a good night to sleep. Best sleep I've had in about a week.
I know. Well, all the anxiety, right, leading up to the game. You had the full week off. Was that difficult for you guys? Not used to it? I know it's been since 2020 for you in the championship game. I'm sure it was different back then playing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Was it like the week gap, was it good for you guys?
I don't think so. I think the anxiety and the buildup and anticipation was harder. My goodness, we probably watched as a coaching staff, we probably watched Menachie play about 10 different games. And every time you watch it, you're just like, okay, we're going to do this. And you watch them play a different team. They're going, man, they beat a good Porterville team. We need to do this. And so the week off gave you more time to prep, but it also kind of built up a little bit more to go, how do we really want to attack this? So from a physical standpoint, I think it helped out. Aiden got banged up in practice the day before Ridgeview. And playing three games in a week, it allowed us to kind of regroup. I know Monday we took it a lot lighter, watched film. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, we had tougher practices. And then Thursday, we kind of did a little bit more shooting and walkthroughs. But it's a lot of time off after you play three games in 1 week to say, guess what? Here's a week off. Get ready.
Aiden, was that week difficult for you? It's your first Valley Championship game, right? Playing in Celand Arena, where you're just like, man, will it hurry up and get here already?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Obviously, it's good for us to practice, but then as each day comes, it's like, oh, I just want to play already. It's just the anxious starts to build up, and you're like, I just wanted to get here already.
Right, and you're probably sick of your coaches going over all these game plans, and they're, oh, yeah, let's put this and let's put that in. Sick of seeing your teammates maybe going through screens and trying to replicate Menachie and all that, right?
We talked about that. We huddled up, and I was like, I know you're tired of each other. Like, we've been doing this since June, and for a lot of these guys, 3 and 4 years together, that it's like, I know you're sick of it, but just give me – an hour and a half today and an hour and a half tomorrow. But we were laughing about, like, just do your role. Just do it.
And they did the role very well. I don't think I mentioned the score in this segment. I did in the past. But 73-50 win over Menachie. You guys were the top seed. Is it your fifth, Fresno Christian's fifth title? Did we figure that out yet? As a school for boys.
I believe it is. Right? Just kind of going through with Chris Schultz and CJ Haydock and Scott. The previous coach before CJ,
Scott Kalish.
I should know that, but
I know Fresno Christian almost as well as you, John, and I don't know what that says about me as an Emmanuel grad.
That just tells you the rivalry is still going.
That's right. All right. So fifth in school history, second for you, right?
Yep.
2020 against Fowler. How about Devin? I'm going to ask you, like, when you guys were celebrating. Right after the game, you guys were able to hug each other and then take that picture there at center court and then go up to the Celand Arena, celebrate a little bit more. Like, what was going through your mind, man? How happy were you in that moment?
I mean, man, it was kind of like a dream come true. You know, me and the whole team were talking about this since even before the season started, and in our early practices, we always talk about the main goal is to win the championship, and obviously that came true. So It was a great feeling.
Aiden, what about for you? What was going through your head?
Yeah, it's just a surreal moment. Like he said, we've been dreaming of this ever since before the season started. And when we came here like 3 years ago, it's our third year here. This has always been one of our goals. And not many people get the opportunity to even let alone play there, but let alone win. So it's just fun just taking in the moment, just celebrating all of our hard work that's paid off.
All right, so Aiden, you had 26 points in that one. Had 5 threes in the first half. You were on a little bit of a heat check here, man. Draining some threes. How did the game flow happen for you? You guys got off to that quick start, but then, I mean, Menachie, you guys could have put them away for a while, right? They closed it within six, but then you guys end up with that 23-point win. But talk about the game flow and kind of what was working for you and your teammates.
Yeah, we were just locked in from the start, just right in the locker room. We were just all getting ready, just stretching and. Just right when we get out on the court, we just mentally just always lock in. And warm-ups, we just really take it seriously and just get a sweat going. And then when we step out on that court, we just have confidence in ourselves because we've been working so hard for this moment, so we don't doubt our abilities. And just great teammates getting me the ball. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to do it without them. But when we step out there, we were just our connection. We've just been here for so long together. We just have great – I don't know. We just play good together.
Well, and Aiden, what impressed me, you know, I've seen a lot of games at Celand Arena, but just how aggressive you were mentally, right? You weren't shy, right?
Yeah.
Like, right, you see some guys, maybe the bright lights and everything, a little distracted, like, oh, man, should I take my shot here? But not for you. You were aggressive right off the bat.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been obviously in the gym, not even just at Fresno Christian, but just at home. So, like I said, when I step on the court, I just have confidence in myself and just let it fly because I know all this hard work will pay off.
Confidence, absolutely. Devin, like, what is there a play in last night's game that you'll remember, maybe like a real key play? I know you got some buckets late in that fourth quarter, help you guys get that, extend that lead. But is there a specific play you remember in last night's game?
Oh, man. I think, did someone take a charge?
There were a couple. Oh, look at this guy.
The guy next
hand.
To him took a charge.
I think, yeah, when I think Aiden's had a charge, I think, every single playoff game we've had.
The past three. Yeah.
And that, I mean, man, our team usually isn't a team known for taking charges. So when we take a charge, all the bench gets up, everyone's hyped. So I think it builds up all the energy for us.
Yeah, right. It was a. I think going the other – well, I think in the second – I think you drew two. Second quarter, there was one kind of in front of your bench where you stepped in front, right, like you anticipated the move. Mm-hmm. I think there was another one. Am I misremembering here?
Yeah, I think there's two, and one was in the second quarter, and then one was pretty late.
Yeah.
Also in the third quarter, I want to say it was too. So, yeah, those are big plays. We celebrate those. Those are things that we talk about as a team. We do a play of the game normally, and – typically, it's not a scoring play. It's a defensive game or a play or a pass or something that really gets the team going. So Devin's picked up on that, knowing that those are little things that make a big deal.
Coach, you've obviously coached these guys for a while, but right, your best players got to rise up in the biggest games. And I felt like both of these guys and the entire team, but especially these two guys, right?
Yeah, it's what we talk about is you want to put the ball in the hands of your best players. And Jeremiah did a great job of doing that yesterday. And he's taken on that role of I need to get the ball to the guys in a spot where they can score. And as a coach, that just takes a weight off me. Yeah. Now I don't even have to really call a whole lot. You think back through the game last night, I think we ran three plays. We just have a zone offense, and they went man. We called three plays, probably called diamond and touch and
motion.
That's about it. And so that's just a tribute to guys moving the ball and being in the spots where they want. But, yeah, Aiden, the last – probably this whole playoff run, he's been hot the first half. And then they just said, okay, we're not going to let Aiden take a three. And I don't even know if you took a three this whole second half of playoffs. I don't even know if you did that, which then just drags the defense out, and it opens up lanes for everybody else. And getting Devin some touches to – I think he had the last 6 points of the game to kind of ice it for us. And that's just guys playing roles that – hey, it's his turn. Let him go. Because guess what? When he gets hot, that's going to open up lane for somebody else. And then all of a sudden the focus goes there, and you see Noah slashing or some of these other guys doing other things. It's just it's a trickle-down effect, and they've done a good job of that.
And Noah Colton, I want to add, had a really good game as well, 14 points. I think Devin ended up with 14 as well. All right, so I want to – you know what, Aiden? I got to ask you about the shoes. These shoes right here.
Yeah.
All right. How do you explain these bad boys, right? Like, walk us through it. What do you – you got some Nikes, but those don't look like regular Nikes to me.
Yeah, so basically they started out as white Air Forces, and then when we were in Vegas, I think a couple months ago, my dad took me and my mom to this, like, shoe place where you can, like, customize shoes to whatever you want. So we had an idea where if we brought in an actual basketball and if we could cut it up and put it on the shoes. It's so, like, these are, like, actual, like, basketballs that we just, like, cut open and then shaped it onto the shoe. And so we would, like, glue it on, and then the guy, like, went around and, like, sewed everything onto it.
All right, we got to take a picture of those. Got to post them. All right, so, yeah, it's literally a basketball, an NCAA basketball cut out with the Nike swoosh, right? You see what Wilson, a little bit of the Wilson, and then you see NC on the right foot and then, like, an AA on the left foot.
Yeah, then got, like, this stuff that he drew, and then I, like, colored it in. Like, you got the paint splatter. You just put paint on your hand and just go like this. And
did that or the other guys?
I did that, too, as well. And then I just put, like, new laces on it. So, and then on this side, I got like this.
All right. So, are those are like, when do you wear those, though? When do you bust those out? Special occasions like today?
Yeah. And usually, like, game day. I wore them yesterday for game day. So,
today's a special occasion.
Getting on with Paul
is a big deal.
Well, I mean, Devin, how about for you, man? You got anything special you wear, or you got some superstitions or anything like that?
No, I didn't get the memo to wear that. Apparently
not. You rolled out in a new pair of J's yesterday. You can't be dropping that.
I did. I did. I tried a new pair of shoes on before our game. So,
do you want to keep going on what you left inside those shoes?
Okay. So yeah.
Some insider information here.
Let's go. What do you got?
So before the game. I left my insoles in my new shoes that I took out of my game shoes. So let's just say one of my coaches had to go back to the car and get my insoles for my new shoes and come bring them to me before the game.
Because your head coach probably didn't say do bag checks a couple times.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Who had to go to the car and get it? Which you said a head coach or a coach, was it? It wasn't this guy. You're not doing that.
No, I'm not fast.
You're not doing that.
It was Dante Washington.
Well, yeah, Dante. You owe him something special then.
Definitely.
You owe him something special. So John, obviously a lot of things lead up to a Central Section Championship. A lot of things go right. You got to have the players, right? You scheduled hard this year as well. Yeah. We had a nice conversation about that last time you were on the show. What do you think is the special sauce, the ingredients, right, that leads to a Central Section title? A lot of things have to go right, from, you know, seedings to, you know, maybe a shot not falling here or a shot falling here. I mean, just all these different variables. Like, what is it for you?
Well, for us, I really think it was probably about three main things. One, we started mornings and mornings and mornings. We were going 3-4 days a week in the mornings, and that's exhausting. And so for the kids to buy in and say, hey, I'm going to give up some sleep to go in the mornings. And that started in June. We gave July off, went August, September, October, and in these mornings. So they bought into that. We challenged them to take 500 shots a day, 5 days a week. So that's 2,500 shots, roughly 10,000 shots a month that they were taking. So you saw that paying off. And so then we were going, you got to go home and do it. You got to keep doing it, and that's how you get better. So that's part of it. Another part of it is just kind of seeing the big picture. And Coach Washington always said, phase one is preseason, phase two is league, phase three is section championships, and phase four is state. So we kind of kept those big goals at it. Lastly, as much as these guys work, our coaching staff works hard. One of them's in the gym now with Noah's in the gym now shooting with one of our coaches. So they're constantly working. They're constantly checking in on them. And so just a all-around good thing. But you talked about the schedule. We rolled into the Clovis North tournament with six guys. So due to injuries and stupidity, having to play that type of game, and then played Mission Prep last, who won last night, got to play them with seven guys. So again, we just said, hey, we're going to push as hard as we can. And so just kind of having that mindset to go, this is for an end goal. Today is big, but it's not as big as the end goal. And so they bought into that.
Well, let me ask these guys then. So from your perspective, right, scheduling up, playing the Mission Preps, the San Joaquin Memorials, right, and Sunnyside.
Sunnyside. Clovis, Hoover, yeah.
Yeah, all those games. Like, Aiden, how did playing in those games, like, affect you guys and prepare you guys for your run to the title?
I've always said, like, I think playing harder teams is better for us because obviously it gets us prepared to what we're going to see in the future. Obviously, the league isn't going to really help us down the stretch. So, obviously, those games were pivotal to expose us to what we really need to work on down the stretch. So, I think those were really helpful towards us, yeah.
Devin, what about for you playing against, you know, some of these, you know, Division I, Division II type schools? How did that refine your game?
Oh, man, well, since the summer league games and the leagues before our actual league are much harder than our actual league, it kind of prepares us for something like playoffs and state, because we know the competition is going to be much better. And since we're playing better competition early, and then let's say a little bit lower competition middle, and then more higher competition at the end, we're just always prepared.
Coach, state playoffs, where are we thinking about where you guys are going to land?
I can tell you where I hope we land and where I think we'll land. I think we could actually be a top seed in Division 5. And if that doesn't work out, I think we would probably be a 6 to 10 seed in 4.
Would it start on Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yep,
what do we know?
Tuesday. So tomorrow, brackets come out. Okay. And from there, it's a mad scramble to get as much film as you can. And then the AD hat's got to go on and see if we got to travel. I mean, if we're in the north, we could be up at Mount Shasta. If we're in the southern section, we could be down in San Diego. So we literally could be going 6 hours in either direction. And got to get the information out and then put a game plan together. So, again, that coaching staff we talk about will do a good job with that, of kind of watching as much film as we can and trying to set us up as best we can going forward. So those games, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
We'll find out, right?
Yep.
We got a couple minutes with the guys. Devin, do you remember I've seen you dunk the basketball a few times. right? Do you remember your first dunk? What was your first dunk?
My first dunk was in the All-Star game of my eighth grade year. So
where was that game played at?
Clovis East.
Clovis East.
So that was a great feeling. It was in layup line. It was in the game. So, I mean, but it was in layup lines, and that was my first dunk, and my brother got it on video. So that was a pretty
– What was going through your mind? Like, did I just dunk it? I mean, what were you thinking there? Like, yeah. Did that just happen?
And it was with one hand, too. I usually like dunking with two hands off 2 feet, but it was off 1 foot, one hand. So I was like, man, I was kind of surprised, actually.
All right. Aiden, what about for you? Have you been close to dunking? What's your ammo? You got those.
I've dunked before. Not in game, but in, like, lip or in warm-ups, like during practice. I'll throw it down a couple times.
All right. So. One foot, right?
No, I'm
you're a two-foot guy?
2 foot, one hand, yeah.
2 foot, one hand.
2 foot, right hand.
Right hand. I dunked with my right hand.
All right. No, I'm left hand. A little oppo, huh?
Yeah.
Coach, when was your first dunk?
My Jordan Nerf hoop. I put one down pretty good.
Double reverse Dominique style?
Yeah. Yeah, they know not to get in the way. So.
All right. Hey, first of all, thank you guys for coming on, man. Congratulations. That was an absolute great game for you guys to watch. I know how much you guys worked hard for that moment, and you guys played an excellent game, and you guys were rewarded for a win last night. So, man, just soak it all in, man. Wear those hats with pride. Wear those shirts with pride. I don't know if rings are coming later, but the season's not over, I'm for sure. But congrats on the season, man. You guys definitely earned it.
Thank you. Yeah,
appreciate
it. All right. Coach John Penberthy and the guys talking about their win against Menachie last night to capture the D4 title. We got games tonight. Don't forget that. We're going to be broadcasting the girls game at 6 o'clock, Division I girls between Clovis West and Clovis, and then the big one, St. Joseph and Buchanan at 8 o'clock. We'll have that for you on 1430 ESPN. You guys are going to be there? You going tonight?
Yeah, I'll be at the Buchanan
plan.
One.
You guys are going to plan? Or if not, plan. You can listen on air. Yeah, check right. us out. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, Terrence Harris of Mission Prep, Ruben and Luis Zamora of Selma Soccer, Phil Bonatti, John Penberthy, Aiden Milway, and Devin Gaines. Thank you guys all for coming on. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys next week.